Before this night, J.P. Whitley had never been successful, and neither had his father or his grandfather. Generations of trying to hunt down this sorrowful cryptid and putting it out of its misery had always been in vain. But when J.P. finally lured the creature in his makeshift basket by mimicking its cries, he also shed a few real tears alongside it. But before we begin, if you love cryptids and want to learn the full story, both the legends and the facts delivered as a narrative story, then this guided tour is for you. Sniffle on over and tap the subscribe, like, or review button, depending on where you watch or listen. Now, grab some tissue, and don't forget a bucket for your tears. The tour is about to start. I'm Elaine, and you're touring Cryptids Across the Atlas. All was calm with the moon and stars illuminating the night sky, but it was terribly frosty atop Mont Alto. Perhaps the coldest winter's night yet. The temperature was in the single digits, the wind chill had been roughly negative 20 degrees, and the snowfall had reached nearly a couple feet deep. But J.P. Whitling, a Pennsylvania native, was prepared. Growing up in these woods, J.P. was used to the frigid winter temperatures. From the generations of men before him who specialized in logging and hunting, he knew how to suit up for a long winter's night properly. Complete with heavy fur coats, thick leather gloves, and fleece-lined boots, J.P. was only getting started. Since his father and grandfather had been loggers during their lifetime, harsh winters with freezing temperatures weren't the only things J.P. had been prepared for. Growing up, he had heard countless stories of black bears, large elk, and mischievous coyotes casually rummaging through campsites. But that's not what he was here for. That's not what he was on the hunt for. No, what he wanted was something that many Pennsylvania natives have often heard whispered through these woods, but only a few have ever seen. From backpackers trekking through the woods with friends, to hunters scouring for meat to last the whole winter, many have often claimed to hear the faint sound of someone crying out in the woods. But no matter how often one would go out and look to see where the noise was coming from, they'd always come up short. Of course, the rumors were there. Some claim the crying out is from the ghost of a wailing woman who had tragically lost her husband in battle centuries before. Others claim it's simply a wild cat trying to lure in their prey. But J.P. knew better. This wasn't a ghost or a bobcat. The sorrowful moaning could only mean one thing. The squonk was afoot. The squonk is scientifically known as the lacrima corpus dissolvent, which translates to body dissolves into tears, or the dissolving tear. The squonk is often described as having loose, ill-fitting skin that's been covered in warts and moles, slightly resembling a pig, however complete with webbed feet on its left side. Apparently, it is so ashamed of its dreadful appearance that it lives in constant despair, spending most of its time weeping and hiding from anyone who dares to look closer. And because of its constant dread, it is also said to leave a tear-stained trail behind wherever it wanders. While this depressing cryptid may sound more fictional and less believable than some of its other cryptid counterparts, that doesn't make it any less significant in pop culture. For instance, while we're unsure of its predated whereabouts, the squonk was officially introduced in 1910, making its first debut in William T. Cox's book, Fearsome Creatures of the Lumber Woods with a Few Desert and Mountain Beasts. If you think you've heard this book mentioned before, then you probably recognize its title from episode 23 where we covered the Gumbaroo. If you're unfamiliar with the Gumbaroo, it's basically a bear-sized, impenetrable, walking football that self-destructs when threatened, seemingly the culprit for wild forest fires in the Pacific Northwest. And now that I say that out loud, I'm convinced that the squonk and the Gumbaroo are probably distant cousins somewhere down the line. According to an excerpt from William's book, the range of the squonk is limited. Few people outside of Pennsylvania have ever heard of the quaint beast, which is said to be pretty common in the hemlock forests of that state. The squonk is of a very retiring disposition, generally traveling about at twilight and dusk. Because of its misfitting skin, which is covered with warts and moles, it is always unhappy. In fact, it is said by people who are best able to judge it to be the most morbid of beasts. Hunters who are good at tracking can follow a squonk by its tear-stained trail, for the animal weeps constantly. When cornered and escape seems impossible or surprised and frightened, it may dissolve itself into tears. Squonk hunters are most successful on frosty moonlight nights when tears are shed slowly and the animal dislikes moving about. It may then be heard weeping underneath the boughs of dark hemlock trees. A few years later, in 1937, the squonk was reintroduced in the tale of Paul Bunyan and his great blue ox. Throughout the book, the author shares different stories of Paul Bunyan, with one in particular titled Paul's Bad Luck. This story shares how Paul and a group of loggers were fishing by the Big Onion River to pass the time. One of their favorite games was a fishing contest, where the men would carry big gunny sacks to a favorite spot and stand there holding the oats of the sacks wide open. Then they would imitate the fish's cries and calls as they swam around the fog, and the man who enticed the most fish into this bag won the contest. According to the book, it's said that one of the men heard a queer wailing sound some distance away, and thinking that it was some new kind of fish, he bangs, mocking its cries. He comes nearer and nearer, and finally he enticed it into his big bag. However, he could tell immediately from the feel of it through the bag that the creature was not a fish, and from the roughness of its loose and bumpy skin, he was able very shortly to learn what he had captured. "Hooray!" he yelled to his companions, "I've caught a squonk!" And despite the poor animal's desperate wailings, he bundled it under his arm and hurried with it to the bunkhouse. He was greatly excited over this unusual catch, which was indeed a prize, and he looked forward to enjoy the importance which the display of it to his fellows would give him. It's also said in the book that the squonk is one of the rarest animals in the woods, is a very shy creature, and has a retiring disposition due to the shame it feels because of its unlovely appearance. It has dull, red eyes, a long, comical nose, and an ill-fitting, warty skin, as well as several other blemishing defects on account of all of which it intensely dislikes being seen. Because it yearns to be beautiful and yet is condemned to be so fearfully ugly, it is always unhappy and weeps and wails constantly, leaving a trail of tears wherever it goes. So rarely did it ever get near men that the logger who had caught the squonk was greatly elated and called all his friends to the bunkhouse to see the queer creature when he put it on view. When he opened the bag, however, there was nothing there except some salt water and bubbles. The poor creature made more unhappy than ever by being caught, and so fearful of being seen in all of its homeliness, it had simply dissolved into tears. And again in 1939, the squonk made yet another appearance. Henry Tryon, another author whom you may remember from our Gumbaroo episode, also wrote about the squonk in his book Fearsome Critters. In his book, Henry describes the squonk as living a quiet life, never venturing too far out in fear of catching its reflection. Here's an excerpt from Fearsome Critters describing the squonk and its strange habits. "The squonk is probably the homeliest creature in the world and knows it. The distribution was once fairly wide, the usual habitat being high plains where desert vegetation was abundant. History shows beyond dispute that these areas gradually changed to the swampy, lake-dotted country the squonk was forced to take to water. Of distinctly low mentality, it traveled constantly around the unaccustomed marshes in search of fodder. With time, it developed webbing between its toes, but only on the submerged left side. Hence, on entering the water, it could swim only in circles and never get back to shore. Fossil bones dredged from these lake bottoms reveal that thousands perished of starvation in this manner. Today, the squonk is met solely in the hemlock forest of Pennsylvania. It is a most retiring, bashful, crepuscular animal, garbed in a loose, warty, singularly ill-fitting skin. The squonk is always unhappy, even morbid. He is given to constant weeping over his really upsetting appearance and can sometimes be tracked by his tear-stained trail. Moonlight nights are best for swank hunts, for then the animal refers to lie quiet in its hemlock home, fearing, should it venture forth, that it may catch a glimpse of itself in some moonlit pool. Sometimes you can hear one weeping softly to himself. The sound is a low note of pleading, somewhat resembling the call of the cross-feathered snee. Okay, so you're probably thinking, Elaine, all of these stories are fiction. They're all in good fun, but not probable. Well, I'd have to agree with you. The irony of the squonk's strange appearances and behaviors is that emotions like loneliness, despair, and depression, and sorrow are all things we have felt at some point in our lives. Initially, you may see a strange, warty-looking cryptid whose favorite sport involves crying over its odd-looking features. But I think the squonk is simply sadness personified. At least, that's what popular rock artists sang about in the 1970s. Take a line in Steely Dan's song, any major dude would tell you, that says, "Have you ever seen a squonk's tears? Well, look at mine." Oh, and don't forget when Phil Collins joined the progressive rock band Genesis and wrote the song titled Squonk. Honestly, if you look up the lyrics, it's really depressing. Basically, the song follows the life of a squonk and how it could never make it in this cruel world because of its ugly features, and all it will ever amount to is just a pool of bubbles and tears. So, if you like sad emo music, this is right up your alley. Also, just a complete side note, does anyone else see the resemblance between the squonk and Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh? The personalities are pretty much the same. I'm so sorry that I had to throw that in there and practically ruin Winnie the Pooh for you, because now every time you see Eeyore, the squonk is all you will ever think about. It had to be said. Now that we've covered the squonk, what it looks like, where it's from, and its strange behavior, where does this leave us now? And what happened to J.P. Wintling on his hunt for the squonk? Was he able to catch this elusive wailing cryptid? Well, in all his years trailing the squonk, JP had never been successful. Although he had been close many a time, the squonk was always just barely out of reach. But not tonight. This night was different. With the frigid temperatures continuing to dip at the top of each hour and the moon shining brightly, JP swore his efforts wouldn't be in vain this time. This time, he'd try a new approach. Rather than setting up bear traps or trying to time it just right, this time JP would lure in the squonk by speaking its own language, loneliness and despair. After cleverly mimicking its cries, the plan seemed to be working. Only a few moments had passed before the squonk's sobs had been unbearably loud, but not wanting to give way to yet another failed attempt, JP kept mimicking its cries louder and louder as the squonk's cries came closer and closer. Once the squonk had walked right in front of JP, it saw its reflection in the nearby lake that it had since frozen over and tried running away. But like the traps JP had set before, he had rigged a makeshift basket of tree branches underneath the snow so that once the squonk had stepped foot, it would enclose it for good. Feeling victorious at his catch, it was finally time to go home. Picking up the large sack and throwing it across his back, JP began his long trek back home. At first, the bag was extremely heavy and hard to carry. With the squonk's icy tears filling up the bag, and its wailing cries almost made it unbearable to keep going. But determined to share with his family the creature that he and his father and his father's father had tried hunting down for years, he kept going, satisfied that he finally found the elusive squonk. But after a few miles out, he began to notice his sack wasn't as heavy as before, and the excessive wailing had gone down to a hushed cry. Maybe it was the adrenaline that kept him going, or the excitement of this catch that made the bag feel lightweight. And the squonk was technically still crying after all. Maybe it had just cried itself to sleep, he thought. Still, he kept going. After a few more miles in, JP caught a glimpse of the glow of a nearby lamppost reflecting off the snow. He almost forgot that he was carrying anything at all. That's when he realized that the sack he had been carrying weighed next to nothing. And that soft cry? Non-existent. Curious, he gently unslung the wooden box off his back and placed it on the ground. Upon opening the basket, to his bewilderment, all that was left were tears and bubbles. It surely had cried itself to sleep and seemingly out of existence. Later, when the story spread to a local newspaper, the Snyder County Tribune in 1936, J.P. is said to have shed his own tears when opening up the makeshift basket. In his words, "I might have known better than to shut up a squonk in a basket made from branches of the weeping willow tree." If you love cryptids and want to learn even more about the creatures we just talked about, find us on TikTok or Instagram. Just search username @TheCryptidAtlas. By the way, the episode you just witnessed is both a podcast and YouTube video, so whichever format you prefer, we have you covered. Also, check out our interactive cryptid map to browse the globe and learn about cryptids from your favorite areas. Every episode we make adds another pin to our map. You can find our social channels, the map, and more at thecryptidatlas.com. And when you find us, be sure to tap that follow button and get in on the action by dropping a comment on our recent videos. If you enjoy the show, consider sharing it on with a friend. Sharing the spooky love with someone else is the best compliment you could ever give us. And if you listen on Apple or Spotify, consider leaving an honest review to help other listeners know what to expect. Thanks for touring Cryptids Across the Atlas. Until next time, keep your eyes open. You never know what you might see just on the edge of the road.